block now. Normally 10cc, but we kind of slid 10cc up a block just for the sake of continuity.
I was all geared up to do our Mike Blakeney bump in.
Yeah.
Come on.
We'll just have to wait another week.
Oh, well.
The B block was brought to you by Blakeney. www.mikeblakeney.com. Why, John?
He's a rental to you because he belongs to us.
See? You still got it in. Now, under the category of which pro sport has had the worst summer, I guess we'll just start with the NBA and Donaghy, who kind of like Seven, who we've been talking about most of the show, has an issue. Do I bring everybody down with me or do I go ahead and bite the bullet?
He doesn't seem to be hesitating to bring everybody down with him.
No.
He's going to narc on 20 other officials. To what extent, I have no idea.
And you know, the NBA officials never had a good reputation to begin with.
No, game's fixed. I thought you knew that.
No.
Yeah, game's fixed.
When did that happen?
Clyde Drexler, Western Conference Finals against Houston. He had an easy layup, no one else in the lane to make the number, and he blew it. He clanked it off the back rim.
It's fixed.
Of course it is.
Well, the ironic thing with this is that apparently, according to, as the story goes, he's going to name names of guys who gambled in casinos in Las Vegas.
But are they gambling on like craps or dice or roulette?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. The NBA officials in their agreement with the league, they can't even sniff gambling.
So then how are they getting access to gambling if they're just, I mean, are they just flying to Vegas on their free time or going to Atlantic City on their free time?
Dude, the league had the All-Star game in Las Vegas last year.
You just duded me.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
They hold their Team USA training in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
How could they not have access to it?
You know, sign a Sixers game. You spend some quality time at Atlantic City. There's an Indian casino somewhere around an NBA city.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. Here's your post game from the Donaghy plea, courtesy of our friends at WCBS and WCBSTV.com.
Up to last month, Tim Donaghy was a high-ranking NBA referee. He officiated the Western Conference Pro Basketball Playoffs in June. Today, in federal court, a soft-spoken Donaghy admitted he used inside information, like referee schedules and his expertise, to advise gamblers on who would win NBA games, even games he officiated. He was paid for correct predictions $2,000 to $5,000 a game. He also placed bets himself, a devastating admission for professional sports.
He expresses a great deal of remorse and concern about the pain that he's caused his family, his friends, and his co-workers.
Referee Donaghy, after saying he was taking antidepressants, pled to two felony counts, conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to transmit gambling information. He admitted using code when he passed on information on the phone. Both of his co-conspirators surrendered to FBI agents here at the federal courthouse in downtown Brooklyn. Both are described as his high school classmates and mob wannabes. James Baba Sheep Batista and Thomas Martino were charged with fraud and released on $250,000 bail. In court papers, an FBI agent said the investigations began when he learned of alleged co-conspirator Batista's placing large bets on NBA games. Donaghy's lawyer blamed his client's alleged gambling addiction.
I think he's had a severe gambling problem for a while that went untreated.
Donaghy was released on $250,000 bail. He will be sentenced November 9th. He faces up to 25 years in jail, but is expected to receive less for cooperating. T.Y. Chang, CBS 2 News.
Okay. So, I'm the naive one here that thinks that the NBA is fixed. Donaghy's bringing everybody down with him. Which commissioner has had the crappier summer?
David really Stern. Coin toss between all four.
How can you have a coin toss with four?
As I said,
it'd be an elimination tournament.
As I said in a break, two rabbis, a priest,
and four commissioners sat in a bar.
Sat in a bar. I mean, it sounds like one of those kind of jokes.
Stern says that Donaghy was a rogue official. I guess Donaghy's going to prove him wrong. Of course, the look I just gave doesn't translate to radio. The Bettman has had to deal with Rick Tockett, who now has got 2 years probation and had apparently nothing to do with the Operation Slapshot.
Well, and again, a game nobody wants to watch.
Yeah. Well, you got to make money somehow. Yeah.
I forget where I read this, but I read somebody wrote a kind of a joke column along the line that I was going with before. And they had a described conversation between all the commissioners if they were sitting in a bar together. And Bettman walked up and they said, who's that?
Nice.
That's good.
Then you've got their Uber owner, Bud Selig, having to deal with 2-5, Hands in Pockets. His Indian name, Hands in Pockets, Bud Selig. And then Jolly Roger having to deal with Pac-Man.
Not to be confused with the Alanis Morissette song of the same name.
Yes. Then you have Jolly Roger dealing
with... That's a hint, J-Dub. Because I've got one hand.
Bengals, Pac-Man, Seven. Who am I missing? Michael Strahan.
Bengals.
Odell Thurman.
Well, yeah, that's the Bengals. We'll get to him in the stink, by the way. So which commissioners had the crappier summer? And which league is in the most trouble because of it?
Well, I'm always thinking that Bud Selig is the one that's going to have the crappier summer because your sacred record is deemed meaningless now. Because of 2-5.
Mm-hmm.
And Bud Selig to me has always seemed to be the commissioner that's the most out of touch with his players.
Well, Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell to me has the most issues right now, but the guy is tough. The guy will lay down the law, and it's unquestioned who that guy
is.
He's
trying to change a very flawed system.
Exactly. In the most powerful sports league in the country. And right now, I would say Goodell's probably, with all the problems he has, he's probably the one with the least to worry about. He still has the billion-dollar contracts mm-hmm. and the corporate contracts as well.
Right.
You can put an NFL game on, it's still going to do a 20 share. So
even if it's Cleveland and...
Arizona.
Yeah, there you go. So, going off on the sidebar with...
I would argue Goodell's had it the roughest just because of the amount of stuff and the amount of people.
But I think he's dealt with it the best, though.
Yes, yeah, and that's my point. Yeah, you're right. He's got the most, but he's dealt with it the best, and he's come out much stronger with everything that's happened. He's by far the most powerful commissioner in pro sports.
I think, Bud, while I agree with you that he's pretty much out of touch with reality or how the common man lives... I think in the long run, people hardly noticed him.
Yeah, but this past week, Bud Selig sits there and tells Jason Giambi, "You're okay." What the hell was that?
Because he sat down with George Mitchell. That's all it was.
Okay, so when
you got a pass.
When you succumb to blackmail, then you're okay.
Yep.
I mean,
that seems to be the case.
And, you know, okay, so you admit to a grand jury that you pretty much took steroids. You suffered a blackmail.
I mean, when it comes down to it, it's part of the bigger issue with athletes playing on a different level than you or I or anybody else
I'm just talking about the whole idea of Bud Selig sitting there saying, okay, we have a problem. I'm going to address this problem with this really crappy, no-teeth commission. One guy succumbs to blackmail.
But that's my point. There's a different set of standards. They don't feel like they have to answer to anybody else.
Right.
So, we're not going to get any kind of answer when it comes to steroids in baseball anytime soon.
Oh, no.
Now, if you're going to ask me which commissioner has the most to lose, that is David Stern.
Yeah.
Because he has been there, for over 25 years as mm-hmm. the NBA commissioner?
Yeah.
The Mr. Marketing genius of a league that was nobody cared about, and all of a sudden it was starting to rival football.
Is he more out of touch than the other three, you think?
No.
He's not out of touch. I think he is more into the marketing element of his game rather than the product itself.
And I think it's changed quite a bit over the last few years, and I don't know that he's necessarily changed with it.
And the fact that the core of his game, the integrity of his game, is being challenged right now by Donaghy and whatever he comes out with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about trust within a sport, and it was dicey to begin with the NBA.
And now
it is very dicey.
You go from thugonomics to gambling.
Exactly. That's
got to be a great moniker to have as a league. We're based on thugonomics and gambling.
And think about the best team in your league, the San Antonio Spurs. For purists, love that team because they play the game as a team and as the way it should be, but nobody cares.
Yeah, because
they're not marketed.
God awful nowhere, and they're not marketed. It's like having a paper bag as your champion. Last thoughts either way. Crappier summer. Who's going to survive? You want to get into the A-Rod thing?
I mean, they'll all survive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Except for hockey, which is on life support to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I've always said there's time for a change there.
It's been time. It was time for change 10 years ago there.
Yeah. That's it for the C. That was kind of weird to say.
It was kind of weird.
Next up, pit stop, which means everything Michigan, provided they actually get a race off one way or the other. And when is 881, I guess, for lack of anything better.
When is 881?
Yeah, because he can't take his number with him.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Maybe it'll be 88.
No, that Dale Jarrett would have issues with that.
I don't think Dale Jarrett runs the 88 anymore.
Well, I'll let J-Dub hash that out.
Play with me. Yeah, okay, pit stop's
no,
next.
No, thank you, I won't.
Yeah, pit stop's next. Bye. It's too hot to handle, so I gotta get up and go.
Homeowners, if there was a way to lower your mortgage payment by up to 50%, would you want to know about it? Of course you would. Here's the secret. Quicken Loans. That's right. Quicken Loans with their new exclusive Secure Advantage loan. Write this number down. 800-980-4933. Secure Advantage allows you to choose the payment you want every month. You can pay more if you want, or make a minimum payment that's around 50% less than what you're paying right now. That could free up all kinds of cash. Plus, with Secure Advantage, you can lock in a rate that's fixed for years. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-980-4933. Give them 5 minutes, and you could cut your payment up to 50% and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. You can get approved right over the phone, and Quicken Loans never has prepayment penalties. So call right now at 800-980-4933 and get the Secure Advantage. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call Quicken Loans at 800-980-4933.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's time for the OSG Pit Stop with Brother J-Dub.
Buggity, 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 boys! Let's go racing!
My friend Guido, he dreamed to give a real race car a pit stop.
Pit stop? No pit stop-o. Comprendo?
Okay. I'm dropping the hammer.
No, you're not.
I tell you what you do. You just take them dang spark plugs out, and then that little hole, you just put a little hole around there, just like Bobby Hunter said, just like it go boom, boom, just like that.
Hit the pace car. What for? Because you hit every other damn thing out there, I want you to be perfect.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count on the World Internet Radio Network and Podomatic.com.
No, he didn't slam you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And Rubbin's son is racing.
Hey, shake and bake, gal. Woo! Shake and bake!
Now, the host of Count Pointer Count, Brother J-Dub.
Hello, folks, and welcome into another OSG Pit Stop here on Count Pointer Count, OSG Sports Radio, and the World Internet Radio Network. There's lots of rain falling in Michigan. The start has been pushed back 3 or 4 times now, so I want to take a different stroke on the race at Michigan International Speedway. NASCAR now put together this Michigan kind of a eliminator package I want to play for you here to talk about who's going to win, who can't win, and who won't win. So here is that package right now, courtesy of NASCAR Now and ESPN.com.
Last week we gave you Kevin Harvick. His day ended in a helmet-tugging contest.
Neither one of these guys are happy here.
But with no win. This week's another week, and 47 drivers will show up at Michigan with dreams of victory. We'll tell you why 46 can't win. This is the Eliminator. First of all, Michigan is home to some slumping teams. The Lions, Tigers, and Chevrolet. Chevy hasn't won any of their last 12 races at Michigan. By far their longest active winless streak. We take out all the bow ties, 19 in all, including all the Hendrick, Gibbs, and Childress cars, 28 left. The last first-time winner in Michigan? That was Dale Jarrett in 1991. That's 31 Michigan races since our last first-time winner. During that time, Dale Jarrett has all 32 of his wins. Scott Riggs, Reed Sorensen, and Dave Blaney, now among the 9 drivers who won't be getting their first win this weekend. Now we have 19 left. Winners at Michigan tend to run well on another fast oval, Atlanta. The last 8 Michigan winners finished 13th or better at their previous Atlanta race. The 2007 Final Four was held at Atlanta. And after we eliminate the 15 drivers who finished worse than 13th there, we're down to our own Final Four. From 2002 to 2006, Roush Fenway Racing won exactly one of the two Michigan races each season. They've never swept there, and after a Carl Edwards backflip at Michigan earlier in the season, we won't be seeing that again, nor any acrobatics from Matt Kenseth this weekend. We're down with the two. 38 years at Michigan, 76 all-time races, we've never had a rookie winner. That'll take out Juan Pablo Montoya and leave us with just one. Your winner, number two, Kurt Busch.
In other NASCAR news, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had seen this movie before, and he knew how it was going to end. He wanted the 8, he went after the 8, but deep down, he knew he would never get it. That much became evident this week when Hendrick Motorsports announced that Earnhardt's trademark car number will not follow NASCAR's most popular driver from Dale Earnhardt Incorporated to his new home for 2008. Despite the work of his sister and manager, Kelly Earnhardt Elledge, despite the help of DEI President Max Siegel, the quest was scuttled for the same reason Earnhardt Jr. was unable to obtain an ownership share of the organization his late father founded. Teresa Earnhardt refused to give up control. Earnhardt Jr. said Saturday at Michigan International Speedway that his stepmother, who owns DEI, wanted a share of licensing revenues from that number. Earnhardt Jr. even offered to return the number 8 to DEI after he retired from driving, but ultimately negotiations fell apart in an episode that further underscored the growing bitterness of the division between the driver and his father's widow. Earnhardt said, quote, "I'm not going to sit here and get personal about this. The personal stuff is way far away from the racetrack. It's upsetting as hell and unfortunate, but you know that's just what happens sometimes. I knew I wasn't going to get the number a long time ago, but you wait and wait and wait." Kelly is working, trying to talk to Max, and Max is trying to help. Max tried his butt off to try and make it work, to talk some sense into Teresa. But she either feels too personal about the number, or the rift between me and her is too personal. I can totally understand. If I were in her shoes, I would probably be inclined to keep the number myself. But I will say that Max tried really, really hard. We had a deal that if we got the number, I'd get him a set of golf clubs made by Adidas. Unfortunately, he won't be getting his clubs." End quote. History wasn't on Earnhardt's side in this matter. While car numbers are owned by NASCAR, they're distributed to car owners and traditionally stay in the same shop even if a driver leaves. But this number also has a tie to Earnhardt Jr., one much deeper and more personal than the numeral on apparel worn by his fans. He chose the number 8 because his grandfather Roush raced it, because of its significance within the family history. He intimated Saturday that his new number at Hendrick will have an 8 somewhere in it. "Hold on, hang tight," he said, when asked about all those fans with number 8 tattoos. "I'm definitely going to look at some 80s and things like that. That's just common sense. I want a number that I'm going to like, and it's going to be a number I like and one I design. I'll design the shape and the look. It will be mine, and we'll build a new identity with that. Starting with such a clean page next year anyway, maybe it's for the best. Sort of a lesson in disguise to make that clean break. Because when I walk away from DEI, I want no ties whatsoever. If I was to get the 8 and allow Teresa to have limited control of it, I'd still have to deal with her on a daily basis, and that's not what I want. We have to let the number 8 go, and we have to get something new. Good for you, Little Lee. And I always thought 8 was 3, 2 threes, one backwards, one forwards, put together to put the 8. So I always thought it was homage to Dale Sr., but neither here nor there. And that does it for another OSG Pit Stop. Sorry, folks, for the rain in Michigan. Coming up next on the show, we've got Tommy Palmer and the TCB Band. See if you can figure that one out. You're listening to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? J. Warren Financial can help you eliminate up to 60% of your credit card bills and change your life.
I used to get sick to my stomach every time the phone rang. Thanks to your protection, the bill collectors have stopped harassing me.
J. Warren Financial negotiates with your credit card companies to cut your credit card debt by thousands and take years off your payments.
My credit card companies were the same as loan sharks, charging me 30% interest. And there's no way I'd ever get ahead in life without meeting J. Warren.
Get ready for a toll-free number to receive your free, no-obligation debt relief consultation.
We were both working overtime just to pay the minimum on our credit cards. Now we're enjoying life again with our children.
Call now. 800-381-9629. At least $10,000 in credit card debt is needed. Not available in all states. Call 800-381-9629. That's 800-381-9629. 800-381-9629.
Now back to Count Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
This is Tommy Palmer with a sports comment for OSG Radio.
Heading into Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Florida, a 10-game road swing. The Atlanta Braves are 5.5 games back of the New York Mets in the National League East race. That's a lot of ground to make up over the next few weeks. 1 week ago this time, the Braves were 3.5 games back. With 38 games still to play, it might be time to start keeping a close watch on the wild card in the National League. The recent 3-3 homestand solidifies the fact the Braves are not to be feared at Turner Field. As bad as any Braves fan hates to admit it, once the Braves get past John Smoltz and Tim Hudson, the starting pitching is an adventure. All of a sudden, Chucky James has forgotten how to get batters out. Buddy Carlisle has been brilliant and terrible, and Lance Cormier did show some sign of improvement over the weekend. Time is running out. The National League East looks like a distant memory, but the wild card is still up for grabs. For OSG Radio, this is Tommy Palmer.
That was Tommy Palmer and the TCB Band in honor of Elvis. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We're going to go the F Troop now, where guess who's back?
You mean it wasn't Tommy Palmer and the Flying Elvises?
That would have been awesome.
Albuquerque.
No, Elvis won't be coming in the building, but Corey Ray will be. We'll discuss a few things, some college football.
A few minor alterations, you could probably pass for Elvis.
Give him a pair of mutton chops and yeah.
Michael J. Fox has no Elvis in it.
We'll talk over a few things, college football, Babe and Keel, and a friend of ours that we've known for a while, Kenny Irons, and what he's dealing with right now. It's all coming to the F Troop when we return.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 866-697-5821. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 866-697-5821 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 866-697-5821. That's 866-697-5821.
As long as they all relax in town before they resume with a bang and a boom. F Troop!
And welcome to the F Troop. John Wilkerson here with you. And look who I dug up. It's Corey Ray. Corey Kessler, how you doing?
I'm getting all the sand off my head from being, you know, buried for so long.
And welcome back to the Rumble Room. It's been a while since we've been in the Rumble Room.
I know. It feels good to be back. At least my ID still works in the car entry.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Got a lot of stuff I want to cover with you, Corey. But first of all, I wanted to start off with someone you and I know very well. Kenny Irons of the Cincinnati Bengals. And watching him in his first preseason game, we all got a splash of cold water in our face about how short an NFL career is. And first preseason game, he basically blows out his knee with an ACL tear. I'm sitting there watching that and thinking, man, I felt sick to my stomach because this is a kid who's worked hard, had some adversity when he was first at Decula and at South Carolina and flourished at Auburn. And here he gets a shot, second round pick, and man.
Really, your heart has to go out to him and the entire Irons family. I mean, I remember I was talking to him right before the NFL draft, and I, you know, said, how do you feel? And he said he was really nervous to go. They had this big thing at Decula High School for him. They were going to, you know, have a countdown to when he would be drafted. And he really didn't want to go because he was worried that he wouldn't be drafted that high, with the possibility that he and his brother, David, could be the first brother tandem to be drafted in the same draft in a very long time. So he was just worried and had butterflies that he wouldn't be drafted and, you know, at least too high. And, you know, we all knew better. We all knew he was a talent. But it makes your heart go out to him and the Irons family that, you know, he's out the whole year.
And the good thing about it, if there is a silver lining in this, that it looks like you'll make a full recovery and be back next year. And that's really what's important. And we know him, Corey. This is a kid with a lot of adversity when he was playing in high school and college. He's always overcome it. I'm sure he's going to overcome this as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right on with that. And the thing that I noticed about him is he seems to be a humble kid because of what he's been through. I remember seeing him at a restaurant and you know, people coming up to him, and he talked to everybody, just, yeah, you know, he's an NFL prospect, he's an NFL player, but doesn't let it go to his head.
The kid can flat out play, and we wish him luck. And you know, you're watching the preseason games this week, and you see Jason Campbell go down. We saw DJ Shockley go down. It just makes you think how short an NFL career is and how lucky you are to be able to go out there and play the game that you love.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, I just wish him a Godspeed and a full recovery. And, you know, worst things in the world have happened, but let's hope that Kenny Irons comes back stronger than ever.
Let's change our gears now to baseball, where all of a sudden the St. Louis Cardinals have awoken from the dead, although they're getting pounded by the Cubs right now in their series. But this is a team that, man, you talk about adversity. Tony La Russa and his DWI, or DUI, I believe, one of those. The death of Josh Hancock, Scott Spezia with his alcohol problems. And now a breath of fresh air. Here comes Rick Ankiel, who 5 years ago couldn't throw a strike as a pitcher, decides he's going to become an everyday player.
And he does. Turns out to be one of the greatest stories. It's got to be the best story in Major League Baseball this year, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. He was called up on August 9th against the San Diego Padres. And here's Dan McLaughlin and the Mad Hungarian Al Hrabowski calling his first Major League home run, courtesy of FSN Midwest.
And in the order, no hits.
And Keel out to deep right field. Has a chance to leave the ballpark. It's gone! A three-run shot for Rick Ankiel back in the major leagues. Remarkable. 5-0 St. Louis. Remarkable.
And nobody's happier than Tony La Russa. And these fans are pretty happy along with him. His teammates are happy. But that's the thing. You make your pitches, you got a chance to get him out. You make a mistake, he's got that raw power, and he's going to get his first curtain call.
So, Corey, do we call him Babe Ankiel?
I think so, but the difference is that he failed as a pitcher. Babe was a heck of a pitcher, and Rick Ankiel comes back, changes his whole career around, and as an outfielder is now hitting the long ball and hitting it very well.
He's got three home runs on the year already. He's batting around the 300 mark. If anything, this guy has really been a breath of fresh air for the Cardinals this year, backing up their World Championship year last year. It's been a disappointment, but right now that team is hot. And he gave it a boost that they needed in this stretch run.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good to see something like that happen. You know, to a guy that's committed to staying in the major leagues, knows that doesn't have it as a pitcher. Kind of reminds me of somebody like Mark Wohlers. Mark Wohlers never came back. You know, it went to his head. He couldn't get the ball over the plate. Boom, he was done. Well, Rick Ankiel is far from done.
Well, if you ever need an emergency relief pitcher, he would be the one, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just get it over the plate, right?
Hopefully not for the other team. He'll be for the Cardinals. He'll be the best relief pitcher.
Let's move on to college football, and it's something we've been talking about throughout the show, throughout F Troop over the summer. We just completed our college football preview show. We hope you guys out there listen and enjoy it. But Southern California looks to be the unanimous number one in the preseason. The AP poll just came out. Southern Cal number one. Let's hear from Jim Hill from KCBS-TV as he talks with the Trojans.
For the USC Trojans, it really was only a matter of time, right? After checking in as the top-ranked team in college football in the preseason coaches poll today, the Trojans also found themselves atop the first AP poll of the season. USC will open the 2007 campaign on September the 1st as they host Idaho at the L.A. Coliseum. The Trojans this week did lose backup quarterback Mark Sanchez to a thumb injury, and running back Emmanuel Moody has said he will transfer. We'll have more on that in a couple of moments. But either way, USC is still right where it wants to be as the official preseason number one.
Well, it certainly is a challenge, yeah, and it's one that we've been involved with for a long time and feel like we know how to talk about it and how to handle it, but then again, you still have to do it every time. You know, we're proud that people recognize us as the number one team, but it doesn't amount to much until we start playing, as we always say.
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, no matter what the polls say, that's not really what this team is about. We're about coming out and competing every day, being the best we can be. we know that the polls really don't mean anything, and in the end of the day, it's going to come down to us, you know, playing our best game in order for us to be number one, and not what other people have to say.
I think we knew we were going to have a lot of pressure on us this season with a lot of returners, and then after the big win we had in the Rose Bowl. But you know, something we're used to, you know, here at SC, and you know, kind of thrive on it.
And here's a look at the rankings that came down this morning with USC receiving. Look at this. 62 of the 65 first-place votes. That's incredible. It's the third time in 4 years that they have been named preseason number one. LSU checks in at number two, followed by West Virginia and Texas. The UCLA Bruins come in at number 14.
And those sound bites you heard were head coach Pete Carroll, Brian Cushing, a linebacker for the Trojans, and, of course, starting quarterback John David Booty. And, Corey, my question to you is this USC's world and we're all just a witness to it?
I would have to say probably so, with some, you know, long shots. LSU is ranked second. That's definitely not a long shot, but they have a question mark at quarterback. I think everyone's chasing USC, but watch out for Florida. Watch out for Florida. Urban Meyer's
really
done it time and time again. And, you know, they have a freshman or a sophomore quarterback coming in. Chris Leak's gone. But I think Urban Meyer's a great coach and can get his team to the top. And no one predicted they'd even get into the national title game last year.
And even though they got that young defense?
I think so. I think he'll make them young but strong and dominant.
Let's quickly run down the AP top 25. Southern Cal, as we mentioned, number one. 62 first-place votes, near unanimous. Excuse me. LSU number two, followed by West Virginia, Texas, and Michigan. Pretty formidable top five. Florida number six, seven Wisconsin, eight Oklahoma, nine Virginia Tech. That's a team I like a lot, Virginia Tech. If Sean Glennon has any kind of good quarterback play, that's a team that might sneak in the BCS title game. Louisville at number 10. Interesting, the WAC has two teams in the top 25, Hawaii at 23, Boise State at 24. Hawaii looks to be that BCS party crasher this year.
Yeah, they sure do. You know, they can air it out, score a lot of points. But the thing that interests me is what you just said about Virginia Tech, not just because of what they have on the field, but because of what happened on campus. It could be another feel-good, phenomenal story similar to the New Orleans Saints in the NFL last year.
Totally agree. And that is the identity of the Virginia Tech campus, has been Frank Beamer and his Hokies. And with all the added from the tragedy in April, they will get all the support, you know, of most of the nation. SEC, obviously the best college football conference. The SEC East, probably the best division in college football. Close second would be the Big 12 South. But in 45 seconds, USC is probably the best team right now in college football. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, they just have the dominance. I love Pete Carroll. The thing I love about Pete Carroll is that his players love to play for him. He's stern, but yet he's one of the boys. And everyone wants to win for Pete Carroll. Whoever plays for him wants to win. I think they're the team to beat. They're a juggernaut.
Great segment, Corey. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. I hope my ID works on the way out.
So
don't
do
keep
I.
me in here.
So do I. And what's that smell?
USC running backs?
Something
smoking?
Stinks.
Ryan Seacrest.
We must be getting ready to go to the kitchen stink. That's coming up next. Of course, Brian is in his cell. That's a little later. We got to get out of here. That smells awful.
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Yeah, no problem.
Have you ever had a diet fail because you were hungry all the time?
If you have, don't worry. It's not your fault. It's almost impossible to lose weight if you're always hungry. Hi, I'm Scott Johnson.
And I'm Steve Bostick. We're the creators of Right Size Smoothies. The secret is a cutting-edge appetite manager called Appamine.
It's in the smoothie. You drink the smoothie, it knocks out your appetite, it helps you burn more calories than you take in safely and without being hungry.
And that's what leads to weight loss. I just talked to someone who ordered Right Size. Her name is Anne, and she's already lost 17 pounds.
Because it's such a great product, we're going to do something crazy here. We're going to let you try Right Size Smoothies free for 2 full weeks.
Just call within the next 15 minutes and our operators are going to tell you how you can try our smoothies free. See how it works for you, and either you lose the weight or you'll never pay for them.
Available at Albertsons or for your free trial, call 888-360-1716. 888-360-1716. 888-360-1716.
Now, back to Cal Pointer Count on OSG Sports Radio.
One last time around for the three amigos here. kitchen sink, Stewart sink.
We gotta move. Come on, let's go.
Okay, Michael Vick gets blamed in a man's bomb threat in Chesterfield County, Virginia. A disgruntled Michael Vick fan, apparently upset with the quarterback's legal woes, called Chesterfield County's emergency 911 center, saying that Richmond, Henrico, and Chesterfield jails will be blown up because of Michael Vick. The caller hung up, but did not count on a quick as Vick response.
I always thought Vick blew up the Falcon offense.
Or the other endearing problem to that caller ID.
Yeah, that's how they tracked him down. That and video pictures, yes.
Baseball agent Scott Burris disagrees with the structure of the new MLB draft, saying the deadline for a majority of players operated in favor of the teams because they basically can tell the players, this is all I have to offer. This is especially true for players who don't have choices of college and those who don't qualify or don't have quality academic records.
That drunk and stupid is the only way to get to Scott Boras as an agent.
Is Boras Greek for greedy?
Yes, it is.
Universal.
Look it up.
Jonathan Lee Rich's copyright has filed yet another lawsuit, this time in the Northern District of Indiana.
No. He's not even worth being mentioned.
Yes, he is.
His Vic lawsuit already got thrown, laughed out of court.
No, this one's against Barry Bonds, Bud Selig, Hank Aaron's bat, and defendants.
You can't fix stupid.
Just
go away.
How do you sue a bat?
Jonathan Lee Rich's copyright, known as the White Shug Knight.
How do you sue a bat?
The guy's retarded.
Bonds and Bud Selig are in a secret conspiracy together to boost television ratings. Selig has been secretly giving Bonds steroids for over 9 years under the supervision of Sammy Sosa. On two occasions, he met Mr. Bonds at the I-70 Steak and Shake Booth 11, made an under-the-table cream exchange.
No. Don't tug on that. You never know what it might be attached to.
This is wasting our time.
Needles, HGH,
we have so
and
much
that's
to
it.
Get
that's
to.
It. When you start talking about cream exchanges, forget about it.
And Steak and Shakes at I-70.
All right, after
look
having,
it up, it's on Smoking Gun.
After having three free parking spots for nearly 3 decades at the University of South Carolina, Joe Rosen found out he'd have to pay for his parking. He's a prominent member of the Gamecock Club and contributes $140,000 to scholarships. Well, he's decided to sue the University of South Carolina Gamecock Club because of it. And they're seeking $1 million in damages and $500,000 from South Carolina for unfair and deceptive trade practices. He also wants punitive damages.
Good effing luck. Florida A&M fired basketball coach Mike Gillespie on Tuesday, less than 3 months after he was charged with misdemeanor stalking with a woman who was not his wife. Let's see. He's married, and he was accused of stalking a former girlfriend who had sought to end their relationship for more than 2 years. Police warned the coach in 2005 and again the night before he was arrested to stay away from the woman.
You can't fix stupid.
Suspended Titans quarterback Adam Pac-Man Jones, our old friend, has decided he's going to become a hip-hop artist.
Things that make you go...
He changes careers pretty much weekly.
Like he changes his shoes.
He's adding to his resume.
Jones will team up with producer Spodey. I guess that's how it's pronounced.
Yes.
And a duo called Poster Boys. And their first single will be Let It Shine, being released. The song talks about big money, cars, and jewelry. That'll be out August 27th.
You know, if we quit giving him attention, he'd probably go away.
Doubtful. Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Torrey Cox and Cincinnati Bengals linebacker Odell Thurman have filed discrimination claims with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to have their suspensions overturned. The players contend they've been viewed as alcoholics by the NFL, and that perception is the basis for the action imposed by the Jolly Roger.
And if you're going to tailgate at North Carolina State this year, watch out for
the tailgate cops.
The tailgate cop, because they will be there to make sure that you're having a very nice tailgate.
Yeah, I pulled that story too, yeah. Two Michigan football players face assault charges. Quentin Petit, 19, was bound over on a misdemeanor aggravated assault charge at the conclusion of a preliminary hearing. His teammate, Robert Thornblatt, 20, faces felony charge of assault with intent to commit great bodily harm. Sounds like a Jerry Lee Lewis song, along with misdemeanor assault charges.
That would be great balls of fire.
I was
goodness
close.
Gracious, great bodily harm.
Both men were with a group of football players were identified by witnesses as participating in a bar fight with a 25-year-old man, apparently taking a page out of Randy Orton's book.
Ladies, it seems to me you got your panties all up in a bunch.
Court records show prosecutors initially charged Petilla with assault and battery, but apparently he tried to stomp the victim's head while wearing heavy boots in the fray, Thornblatt did.
I want to know how a regular newspaper columnist quoted Randy Orton in an article.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
What is going on? Did I Did I really get under your skin that badly?
Let's see.
I'm done. It's all you now.
USS Senior Woody George, competing for a starting position at defensive end, arrested at the campus police station, charged with felony count of grand theft relating to a missing parking boot. He was arrested after his car had been immobilized with a boot from USF's Parking and Transportation Services. The car and boot ended up missing, though George called police and made arrangements to return the boot. The boot's valued at $450, even though he told the police he threw the boot away. Felony grand theft covers any theft larger than $300, less than $5,000.
How do you throw a boot away?
I want to know how he got it off the car without anybody noticing it.
Crowbar.
I'm glad they could do that. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a female Pittsburgh police officer and her supervisor, filed internal complaints alleging that the officer was passed over for off-duty guarding the Steelers at a downtown hotel because of her gender. Officer who did the recruiting for the assignment said he didn't want female officers assigned to the Steelers floor in the Hilton Pittsburgh Hotel because of the players, quote, walked down the hallway with no clothes on, end quote.
Brilliant!
She's never seen one of those before, has she?
Nope. Apparently
no. Not. It obviously isn't a deterrent to female sports writers.
You want to talk about the Vic Chew toy?
Not really.
Well, we've done enough with seven.
There's a seven chew toy out now.
Buy it for your dogs.
For revenge. Until the NFL gets a hold of the jersey and shuts them down due to copyright infringement.
Speaking of the shield, MPPA's advocacy committee has asked for NFL vest experiences. I thought you'd enjoy talking about that for about 7 seconds.
Have you been sized for yours?
Not yet.
Double XL. Something that we're going to be tracking down next couple of weeks, New Mexico State's football program is going to wear pink on September 29th against Arkansas Pine Bluff as a fundraiser for breast cancer awareness.
Nice touch by Coach Hal Mummy, whose wife has been a breast cancer survivor.
11 years now.
I just think it's a nice gesture on their part.
Let's see. All the coaches are going to wear pink shirts. All the players are going to wear pink socks. Let's see. Did we talk about Rob DeBoer in South Carolina leaving for the pyramid scheme?
No.
This was he's agreed to step down as South Carolina's sideline reporter while embroiled in a federal lawsuit having to deal with Burn Lounge, which a judge called a classic pyramid scheme. Todd Ellis was involved, but apparently he got out of it in time.
Yeah, that's why he didn't return my email.
And there you go. At least he's got it. At least he's thinking about
it. What, did he think you were the feds or something?
Yeah, really.
Yes. Now he doesn't want to be on our little shindig show here.
Eastern Illinois Associate AD faces sex crime charges. Eastern Illinois' Mark Bonstetter is accused of entering a home near his residence on November 25th without the permission of the home's residents. Once inside, he tried to fondle a woman. The charges against him allege he's still at his job at EIU.
Guys ever been to Charleston, Illinois? You'll know why.
God gave men brains larger than dogs so they wouldn't hump women's legs at cocktail parties.
Nope.
Nope. Don't plan on going either.
I've been, unfortunately.
A couple other things. Did you hear about the go zone nonsense that's going on in Tuscaloosa?
A little bit of it.
Let's see. Quoting the AP, rich federal tax breaks designed to spur rebuilding are flowing hundreds of miles inland to investors who are buying up luxury condos near Bryant-Denny Stadium. 10 condo projects are going up in and around Tuscaloosa. Builders are asking up to $1 million for units with granite countertops, king-size bathtubs, and Bama decor, including crimson couches and Bear Bryant wall art.
Those people are psychotic.
There is the Alabama fans.
I was
going to
say, do you want to answer that one because you've been there?
That is Alabama
I'll
fans
be there in
a nutshell.
Couple of weeks.
Why do you want a million-dollar condo next to Bryant-Denny Stadium?
The Go Zone contains a variety of tax breaks designed to stimulate construction in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas. It offers tax-free bonds to developers to finance big commercial projects like shopping centers or hotels. It was drawn to include the Tuscaloosa area, even though it's about 200 miles from the coast and got only heavy rain and scattered wind from Katrina.
It's the efficiency of our federal government at work.
Unbelievable.
Benoit.
Does Nick Saban have one?
Probably.
No, he wouldn't have to pay for it himself. I'm sure one of them would buy it for him.
Lawyers for Chris Benoit's mother-in-law, Maureen Toffoloni, filed a petition last week asking a court to determine the order of the deaths, which could affect whether she gets any of the estate.
To coin a phrase, I don't think so.
Neither Benoit nor his wife left a will, so the death order could mean the difference in whether Toffoloni or Benoit's children from a previous marriage inherit the two homes, several bank and investment accounts, and other assets estimated to be worth millions. Lawyers in the case declined to provide an exact value. District Attorney Scott Ballard, Fayette County, said the wrestler used the cord to strangle his wife. Under any scenario, they have to figure out who died first. If one died before the other, the estate goes to Benoit's surviving two children. In another scenario, then it would go to the mother-in-law.
That is absolutely despicable.
Unbelievable.
And then Benoit's doctor, Phil Aston, is still on the hot seat, especially now with the death of Mike Durham, part of Public Enemy. Durham's widow, Penny Bordeaux, has criticized Aston, calling the doctor a suburban drug dealer. Quoting the wife, Mike had sleep apnea, asthma, and an enlarged heart. There was no reason to be giving him muscle relaxers when he was so unhealthy. Their former manager had a blueprint for what Phil Aston would do for these wrestlers. If they had issues, he would give them Xanax, painkillers, and muscle relaxers to fix the problem.
Man, that stink smelled bad today.
Yeah, it kind of did. There's a lot of negative stuff in there.
Well,
guys, let's meet.
You can't fix stupid.
You can't fix stupid.
Guys, let's meet up with J-Dub and Raleigh, and let's go tailgating at NC State.
I don't want the tailgate cops coming after me, though.
Yeah, but you don't drink.
No, but that
there'll be barbecues.
But I bet you they'd come after you after barbecuing for doing like barbecuing in and above and beyond and outside your range and things like that.
Probably, and forget about bringing a football or a frisbee.
See, now the thing is that last time I went to Raleigh, they actually tailgated for Carolina Hurricanes games.
Nice.
I mean, it's you know, RBC's next to the football
stadium. Right, right next to Carter Finley.
So all they had to do was just drive in, same spots, everybody tailgates.
And when you violate tailgating, where do you go?
What, did you go to the tailgate jail?
Yeah. They lock you up in a shed.
Oh, no. Last thing. Darren Dalton.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Don't want to forget about the Space Cadet.
No.
No.
Buckaroo Banzai, courtesy of PhillySucks.com and Comcast Philadelphia. Apparently, he sees things in five dimensions.
There was just something that came over me. I remember rounding first, and I was like, what just happened there? I experienced something beyond what we normally experience, and I did not feel like I actually swung the bat. Well, of course, everybody ran with that, and, you know.
I don't know why they do that.
All the goof, he's crazy, the end of the world, and all this. Well, when something like that happens to you, you kind of want to figure out what's going on. Then after I retired, all more and more of these experiences started happening. Now it happens every day. I start experiencing these different realms, different planes of existence, and I tell you in the book, I know exactly what I'm capable of doing, and something happened that I didn't do, and I explain this in the book, One, you know, there was also some talk about speaking with lizards and stuff. You can communicate with anyone, any nature, and that's all that happened there. And to me, that's not a big deal now. I mean, I like the astral travel.
Astral travel. Which is what?
You can skip through time. Well, December 21st, 2012 is the number, by the way. Mm-hmm. We will, as a conscious a group, as a 6 billion, 7 billion people, the earth, everything will rise to another level of consciousness, to the fourth dimension. I'm assuming. I don't have all the answers, but I do believe that we will go to another, everything will be better.
He's Buckaroo Banzai! Get him!
He truly is Buckaroo Banzai.
You ever have a wet dream, Dan?
Not for while you can, monkey boy.
This would be a great place to pull up something from that movie, J-Dub.
I need to see Buckaroo Banzai in person.
Subtle hints.
You ever been in a Turkish prison?
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
You ever like movies about gladiators?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Huh?
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Yeah. You ever have a wet dream, Dan? Oh, and apparently his second wife is now divorcing him.
Duh.
No. Lynn Austin was his first.
Oh.
And the second wife, Nicole, apparently is divorcing him as of about a year ago. They were separated and now they're divorced. But the thing is, how can you know, if you're Darren Dalton, you sit there and you say, well, I can't be here tonight, honey. I'm in the fifth dimension. I'll come back like Wednesday.
As long as he doesn't break out into Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. singing.
Wow.
And on that note.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to go Peaches and Herb. Yeah, on
well,
that
no,
note.
You were talking about the fifth dimension. Marilyn McCoo sang for
no,
her.
No, I'm with you. I'm down with that. Guys, we have viewer mail.
I didn't know we had viewers.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had mail.
Yeah, we have mail.
There's three of them in here.
Courtesy of the college football show. Steve from Knoxville says he's a big Tennessee fan. He enjoyed our opinions. Didn't we slam Tennessee?
I think we weren't too favorable to the Vols.
And he finished up his
email. No, but we appreciate the fact that he was actually listening.
Yes. And then there's Jason T. Why did you put Hawaii in the dreaded others category? Colt Brennan shouldn't be an afterthought. Nice job. Otherwise, just don't forget the little guys outside the SEC and the ACC.
Colt Brennan shouldn't be an afterthought, but the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors should.
Would both of you like to explain the concept of how we pretty much are...
Dreaded others are the non-BCS leagues that have to make the earth move to be included into the BCS bowls. And Hawaii seems to be the team right now that could be that team to make the earth move, although they've had their own issues with hurricanes right now and earthquakes. Yes. They have made the earth move, in other words.
They haven't played a game yet, so we won't know until they start playing.
And what is our philosophy about the underdog and the otherwise downtrodden here on the show?
We love them.
And Hawaii is in the top 25 in the AP preseason poll.
Well, we need to get them up moving a little bit because the Dirty Dozen, they need to get into the Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty Dozen's all that matters.
Let's play football and find out.
Oh, tee it up.
You want to pimp the show? You want to pimp the college football show real quick? Since we're talking college football?
The pregame or the weekly one?
The weekly one.
Yeah.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
Well, every Thursday is when we tape. Every Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Friday.
Every Friday when it airs.
We'll preview the college football week for you. And
talk about the week that was.
The whole trio will be here. And we'll also pay homage to the team of OSG, which is the Vikings of Portland State.
Hoo-ha. Well, I'm dressed in black. But Brian's going to talk about something. I have no idea what.
I don't either.
No. And I'm not going to go there now that we're all back. That's it for a stink. Anything else?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I'm out.
Eat your chips.
Bye.
Do your joints hurt? Do you wake up feeling stiff and achy? Does arthritis slow you down? In Iceland, we think everyone deserves to live without pain. That's why there's a free bottle of Iceland Health Joint Relief Formula waiting for you when you call now. That's right, one free bottle on reserve for anyone listening to this radio station. Just call 1-800-504-8524.
I had some joint pain in my knees, and I don't feel it anymore. It's wonderful.
The arthritis has disappeared.
Iceland Health Joint Relief is a pharmaceutical-grade pain reliever that diminishes inflammation and pain, improves flexibility, and helps build new cartilage. Unlike prescription drugs with harsh side effects, it has omega-3 fish oil, so it's good for your heart too. We Icelanders live without pain. You should too. Call now to find out how to get your free bottle. 1-800-504-8524. 1-800-504-8524.
It's On the Soapbox with Brian Eaves on Count Pointer Count.
Welcome back to Count Pointer Count. It is Brian Eaves, your weekly prisoner here in Cell Block H. And despite J-Dub's protesting, I'm on the Michael Irvin Soapbox. And I will tell you quite honestly this week as we begin that I have never liked Michael Irvin. I mean, really, I've been a Steeler fan for 25 years, so I can't like anything with a star associated with it. Hell, I have a hard time going to Hardee's for the exact same reason. Plus, I've never liked anything that Michael Irvin stood for. The cockiness, the self-absorption, and a downright brazen attitude towards anyone that questioned his actions on or off the field. I'll take a Jerry Rice, a Torrey Holt, or even an Art Monk over Michael Irvin any day. And as an aside, just like brother J-Dub, I thought Art Monk should have been chosen over Michael Irvin this year too for the Hall of Fame. Not because of what Michael Irvin has done, but because of what Art Monk did not do. He was never caught in a hotel with a couple of exotic dancers and some cocaine and then showed up at court in a mink coat. Monk never nicknamed himself anything. The playmaker came from Michael's own imagination. Yes, it is true. I have never liked Michael Irvin until Saturday night. Somewhere, I hope the new home run king was listening as Irvin came clean about past mistakes and bared his soul in front of millions of fans when he didn't really have to do it. Michael could have taken the stage at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and said, "It's about damn time," and referred to himself in the third person or called himself the playmaker 15 or 20 times, and I would have thought no less of him, mainly because I couldn't think any less of him at this point. But when Irvin rose to the podium after Jerry Jones' speech, he left us all speechless.
But I want to send love to every fan everywhere, because you hear so often that people say, "Oh, these are the guys that built the game." No, it's your hunger and your love for the game and your love for what we do that make this game what it is. I thank you for loving the game like we love it.
Later, he addressed his kids with the love, humility, and humbleness of a man truly sorry for all his past mistakes. It was almost as though Irvin were naked on that stage, broken and beaten down. And I now believe, with those words to his son Elijah and Michael, that we may have, for the very first time, actually have seen the real Michael Irvin. Irvin says now that he prays for his kids to avoid the pitfalls that he did not in his career.
I said, please, help me raise them for some young lady so that they can be a better husband than I. Help me raise them for their kids so that they could be a better father than I. And I tell you guys to always do the right thing so that you can be a better role model than Dad.
Michael Irvin will always be the playmaker. Saturday night, he took on a similar persona, the speech maker. Well done, Michael. And you know, for some reason, I think I might have to go by Hardee's today for dinner. Some stars aren't all that bad. But I'm still not pulling for the Cowboys.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.onlinesportsguys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.